Welcome to Zoomer Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
All right, folks, once again, thanks for being here. As always, we do appreciate you carving out some of your personal time to be with us tonight. And as always, our goal is simple, and that's to give you some information, education, maybe a little inspiration as well on enjoying more abundant health. And even when you listen to calls like this, if the information is not applying directly to you, my hope is that when you hear the information on a training call like this, you start thinking about those people who you may know who this could apply to. And the reason we record these calls, of course, is so that when you hear information you think somebody else could benefit from, it makes it super easy to share. You can simply find this recording and many, many others like it right through the back office of your Zoomer Worldwide website. Simply log in, go to the weekly calls section, and then you can share the link to this call and many others, like I said, with just about anybody you want. It can be sent an email, a text message, whatever you would like. So tonight is going to be one of those topics, I think, where if you know somebody in this situation, this is definitely going to be one of those recordings you're going to want to share with them. So tonight I get to spend some time with a lady who is part of Zuma's Scientific Advisory Board. She's a naturopathic doctor. She spends her weeks, each and every week, helping people just like you and I who maybe have health issues and health challenges that they're trying to address from a more holistic perspective, and she does a great job in that in her own practice down there in the great state of Georgia. And obviously, as many of you know, she is also a very accomplished health education expert, and that's why we have her on these calls occasionally to give us some wisdom that she's gained over all the years that she's been in the health and wellness industry. And of course, I'm talking about Dr. Melissa Bennett. So, Dr. Bennett, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just great. And as always, I appreciate you taking your time. I know you are a busy, busy lady, and so I appreciate when you carve out a little time for us on these calls, so thank you for doing that tonight.
Now, you know, the funniest part, Ken, is getting on the call. It's the hardest part. Trying to get on the call. I'm like, where is the Zoom call line? I'm like scrolling through all your texts, and I'm like, you know what? I just need to move it to the bottom. That's like what does Einstein say if you do the same thing over and over again? I'm like, I do it every time. I'm like, why not just move it to the bottom? So when I get off the phone tonight, I'm moving it right to the bottom of that. I'm like, good grief, that's just funny.
Smart idea.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. So I always start off these calls with just a funny, well, I don't know if it's funny. I'm not even going to give myself enough credit, but it's just a joke that I love starting things off with a joke. So tonight I have a little short one. It says, what do you call two monkeys who share an Amazon account?
I have no idea.
Primates.
Ah, there we go. That I like that. That's what I would call a great dad joke. So I'm going to use
it
that, by the way.
That's a good one, primates. That was cute. That was cute. So tonight I'm going to talk about sleep. Sleep is so, so important. And I know, the whole thing, if you listen to a call about my daughter about 8 or 9 months ago now, insomnia started a chain of horrific events after COVID. So as far as the last 10 months, sleep has been something that has been lacking, not only with her, but also with the family, because if someone in your family can't sleep, it's a horrible thing because you're trying to deal with that as well, and that affects your sleep. So sleep is super important. I will say I have to give a glory to God right now, Ken, because I did bring her home yesterday from the hospital, and she was so much more like herself than she's been in 10 months. It just blew me away, and I'm so happy right now because it's just so nice to have her back. She's got a road ahead of her for healing, but at this point, it's just a blessing to have her like herself because this has been one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. And I know it was definitely, related to having, COVID, because it was 24 to 48 hours after that exposure. And then again, a couple of months ago, the same thing. and you can just see the correlation. So I just think the word needs to get out that we really have to pay attention to the mental health side of COVID, or whatever. Even it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated in this situation, because it's the immune response to COVID that causes this. And anyway, just wanted to share that, because if you do have a loved one in your life that's going through something, they're not sleeping, that's one of the first things that you want to look for, and kind of start addressing it from that perspective. But sleep, like I was saying, is so, so important. And I'm actually going to do a presentation to a Parkinson's group probably in the next couple of weeks on sleep. And I think it's really imperative, because a lot of times people say, oh, you know, when you're older, you don't sleep as much. But that's not necessarily true. It's just that your body, you will not sleep as much, but you still need the sleep. So it's one of those things that we have to have. And we spend about 26 years of sleeping, which is crazy when you think about that. And I think it's 7 years of trying to actually get to sleep. So that's like 33 years of our life, maybe a third of our lives, we're basically in bed. And that's why it's just so crucial, because that's where you're spending a big majority of a third of your life. So you've got to have that area in balance before you get all areas, all other areas have to be in balance. So when a patient comes to me, I always say, hey, you got to have your sleep in a good place. You have to have your hydration, and obviously, exercise is important, but when you think about it in the scheme of things, if you're not sleeping, everything else is just going to fall to the wayside, because you really can't concentrate during the day. You have more issues with just achieving, you know, your goals, things like that, because you're just so focused on not sleeping. So it's a big part of my practice. And in my practice, I do help a lot of people sleep, which is very disheartening, because I'm like, oh my goodness, I've got my daughter who I was trying to figure out, but nothing would help her sleep. So it was like, no matter what I tried, and I'm talking about they with everything, it didn't really matter. So it's one of those things, when a person comes into my office and they tell me they can't sleep, typically what I do is neurotransmitter testing. So I'll find out what their cortisol is, I'll find out their neurotransmitters, and then I delicately just use things to balance those out, and then I'll watch people just get really good sleep. So it's just something that I specialize in, and I feel like that's something that a lot of times it's just a quick fix. Like if you go to the doctor and you can't sleep, they're going to say, hey, I'm going to give you, you know, medication to help you sleep. But you've got to figure out why you're not sleeping, because if you don't figure out the why, nothing else is going to matter, because you're still going to have to take a medication, and that medication you can become intolerant to. The tolerance level goes up, so you have to keep taking more and more. So unless you get to the underlying reasons of not sleeping, you're just going to be on this continuous loop of getting more and more medication to try to get you to sleep. And when you do get enough sleep, right, you have a better mood, you're happier, you're able to cope with stress better, your energy goes up, you're actually more alert, you're able to focus, you can concentrate, and even your memory is affected. And therefore, you end up being more productive, more efficient. They also found that people, you know, who do sleep really well, they have fewer accidents and injuries, and they are decreased for, like, illnesses and health problems. So it's, like I said, it just affects your whole life. And if you're not getting enough sleep, the opposite happens, right? You get your mood, anxiety, depression. It makes it more challenging to manage stress. You get decreased energy levels, and your concentration is affected, memory's affected, and you do have an increased risk for accidents and injuries, because you have a slower reaction time. So you just can't, you know, you have poor decision making. And that's really kind of scary, because when you think about, like, residents in the hospitals and stuff, sometimes they're, I don't know, you've seen, you know, some of the shows that were out there, like ER, that's a really long time ago, Grey's Anatomy, you know, they put those poor residents through like such a just no sleep for so many hours, and they're actually taking care of people. So it's just another reason to try to stay healthy. I have to go to the emergency room unless you really, really have to, because that's just that's a scary thing to think about. And when you think about also, you know, back to, you know, we have Focus Up, which is really helpful. If people feel tired, you know, in the afternoon, I always say, hey, if you take Focus Up, it's going to wake you up, but it's not going to make you jittery, and it's just going to keep you awake and alert, not like those energy drinks that crash you, but then you'll be able to go right back into a nice, you know, gradual, like, just weaning. I don't want to call it weaning, but it's just a nice gradual flow of getting yourself just back to a normal place, not like a crash. And it's very, very good to use if people have issues with sleep, because what it does, it kind of helps. I know it sounds the opposite, right, because you think, wow, focus up for sleep. But it actually helps, because if you're able to give someone focus up in the afternoon and they are able to stay awake and accomplish what they need to do, then it helps them go to sleep at night. And it's the opposite of what you would think when you would give someone. But I do that. I give people focus up, and I'm like, okay, let's see how you sleep tonight. And it seems to work really well, just because it's the opposite effect of maybe during the day they're very sluggish. They get their circadian rhythm off. Focus up really helps reset that, which I think is really cool. And we also have to know, like students, people that are really trying to learn, your brain actually carries out its most sophisticated functions while you're sleeping. So it actually helps consolidating all your memory, which is essential for learning new information. So you find people that don't sleep, their memory is a shot, because that's when the brain is trying to reset itself and it just can't do it. And that's really scary, you know, because, again, you have people working third shifts. If they don't have a good plan in place to get sleep during the day, then they're not going to be efficient on their jobs at night. And I've also found that especially women, middle-aged women that are older that work third shift, they, you know, there are studies out there showing they have a higher mortality rate. Now, that doesn't mean if you work third shift that that's not the best thing. Obviously, it's not the most optimal thing. You can work around that, but you really need to pay attention to that as you get older, especially if that's your shift. You may want to try to move that around and try to switch it with someone else just to be a little healthier. And mood disorders, you know, are really get affected. It's like chronic insomnia. It increases your risk of developing like anxiety and depression. And the National Sleep Foundation said that depression actually can cause the sleep problems, and sleep problems contribute to depression. So you have a catch-22. So if you can't sleep, you have a tenfold risk of developing depression compared to those who sleep well. So sleeping is crucial for your mental health, and I can vouch for that, because I've been dealing with that for several, well, months now, and I'm just going, oh, my goodness. Watching someone's physical health get affected by sleep, and then it comes around and it affects every other aspect of their brain, it's crazy. Physical health, we know that, right? We know lack of sleep over long term can lead to heart disease. It leads to stroke, diabetes, obesity. Lack of sleep also affects your immune system. It protects us, you know, which is what protects us from getting sick. So during sleep, we produce antibodies that we need to fight off bacteria and viruses. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, you know, if you're ready to catch something, if you're right on the edge, if you can get a really good night's sleep, that virus is gone in the morning. You wake up and you're like, wow, I was coming down with something, but dang, it's gone. And that's what happens, because your body, it's like goes into like a really, the immune system starts kicking in right when you're asleep. So when you wake up, it's already handled it. But if you're not sleeping, what's happening? Your body can't do that. So you'll find yourself, people that aren't sleeping as well, you'll find them getting sick, you know, a lot more. And it just also takes, it's harder to fight off sickness, but it just takes longer to recover when you're sleep deprived. And that's not good. And lack of sleep for little kids affects the growth hormone. So sometimes I'll have someone bring a child to me that's like not growing the way that they should, you know, according to the pediatrician. And, you know, sleep is one of the things you want to look at, because that is one of the issues that people don't think about when they're thinking about, well, is my child eating enough? Are they getting enough bad calories? And I'm like, well, you know, they have to be sleeping, because that's when the growth hormone is really in effect. And also for people, you know, just in general, if they're trying to keep their bones and their muscles, that's really important, because, again, you're not sleeping. Everything, these hormones affect everything when you sleep. So it's so important. And also injuries. You know, when you're running around and you're, let's say you're operating heavy machinery and you're not sleeping well, you're going to have poor decision making. You know, you're going to be more impulsive, and you're just going to have a slowed reaction time. And that's why driving sleepy is the same as driving impaired. It's so horrible, because sometimes you'll see, that's why they make the truck drivers, you know, pull over and they have to sleep, because if they're on the road and they're not sleeping, that's really bad for everyone concerned. And you just can't assess your situations. You can't plan accordingly. And you've seen that, you know, people driving on the road, they'll just start drifting over into someone's lane, or it's just scary. So that can be very affect everything very badly. I think, you know, when you also look at sleep, you got to figure out what causes it. You know, some people just sleep, like you heard the term sleep like a baby. And I'm like, well, babies don't really sleep, so I don't know if that's a good thing. But they sleep and they're fine, and they seem to be functioning. They also seem to not age as fast as people who aren't sleeping. But you have to look at it's a 24-hour cycle of your body, and your body has this clock, right? So all these biological processes, they rise and fall like over a day. So when you think about it, you're like, that's your circadian rhythm. That's the first thing you think of when you're thinking of sleep and wake cycle. Now, back in the day, we would go to sleep because farmers would go to sleep when the sun would set. Right? Melatonin kicks in. When the sun would rise, they would go get back up again. We're not in that environment anymore. We have too many, like, lights, too many screen time. Everyone keeps talking about screen time, having your phone. All of those things just really affect your melatonin. And if that happens, then you can't sleep at all, because your body is not producing the melatonin that it needs. And that'll affect all the, you know, your circadian rhythm and everything else. And circadian rhythm, I have to always mention, is not just about your sleep, but it's also what's in control, like your body temperature, the rise and fall of your cortisol, which is your stress hormone at night. It actually helps control your melatonin production. So all those things are set up in that circadian rhythm. And if we don't have it balanced, then everything else can get out of balance. So if you look at yourself and you're going, you know, I sleep after midnight. I go to sleep at 12. That's kind of my routine. I always tell patients, move it back 15 minutes at a time before midnight. Because after midnight, that's when your body's in that repair mode. If you can just move it back 15 minutes and just get yourself into a habit of moving it, you know, as far back under midnight as possible, then you're actually going to get into that time when your body's in this more of a healing mode, which is, you know, in the after midnight. So that's a big thing that I tell patients to do. And if you mess with your circadian rhythm, like I was saying, long term, you're going to have significant consequences with your health and your mental health. You know, it's like when you travel. I know I traveled over to, it was years ago, I traveled to California, and, you know, the time changes over there. And I was getting up at 3 in the morning, and I called everyone in the office that I work with at 3 o'clock, and I said, hey, we need to get to this meeting, and it's 3 a.m. I'm waking them up, and they're like, what? I'm like, no, it's time to go. I had already showered. I had got dressed. I was downstairs. I was waiting on them. And then I look around and I'm like, what time is it? I said, this is really weird. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. They did not come meet me. I was all by myself there. And I was like, this is so embarrassing. So you got to set yourself up to kind of get on your own, especially if you travel, you know, just keep the time that you left from. I think that's a lot easier, but also adjust to the new time. Because if you don't, you'll end up standing by yourself somewhere dressed at 3 o'clock in the morning waiting for people to show up, which is not good. I was going to let you know, too, that there's about 70 million Americans right now who have sleep disorders. And out of that 70 million, 30% have been diagnosed with insomnia. So if you look at insomnia by itself, it's there's $63.2 billion for the entire nation. That was lost in work productivity per year because of insomnia. So it's not that it's just affecting that person, but it also has a big effect in society in general. And, you know, you just don't want to, you just want it to be, you know, be more efficient, obviously. But if you have insomnia, like I was saying, it can affect everyone around you. So you have to figure out, you know, how do you go about getting rid of that? What do you look at? So one of the things that we have to look at, and I'm going to go over several of them, is our sleep, you know, or actually our phones and our tech devices, which is what I had mentioned. And blue light is part of the visible light spectrum. It's emitted from your computer monitors. It's your flat screens. It's your TVs. It's your phones. The blue light prevents your pineal gland from releasing melatonin, and that hormone is associated with nighttime. So people can especially be sensitive to this. And if you need sound to help you sleep, because many people say they can't sleep without their TV on, there's three types of noises that actually help you sleep. So one is white noise, the other is pink noise, and then there's brown noise. And each one of these is a different frequency of sound. And you can find out which one is the best one for you. Now, personally, I like a fan, which is considered a brown noise. I cannot sleep without a fan on, just a nice fan, and that's a brown noise. But other people like water running, and that can fall into the white noise or pink noise. But you can try these different noises. If you have an Alexa, you can buy a sound machine, or you can use Alexa, and you can ask Alexa to play sleep sounds, and she'll go on and basically start doing that. Or you can just go on your computer, and you can look it up and find just type in pink noise, brown noise, and white noise on YouTube, and you can find which one works for you. But that can help people sleep. Being physically active, if you are sitting and not being physically active during the day, that's going to affect your sleep at night. Also, exercising too late is not the best thing. Now, women actually do better exercising in the morning as compared to men who actually do better, exercising in the afternoon. But some people can work out in the afternoon and not have a problem. But if you work out too late, sometimes that can affect your sleep. So if you find yourself not sleeping and you know that you exercise really late, the first thing you got to do is move that time back a little bit. Also, lack of sunlight, fresh air. You always want to do like a nice walk. I tell patients just to get outside, get that vitamin D, make sure that you're just breathing fresh air. But don't do any strenuous activity like 4 hours before bed. With a sleep routine, you need to set a consistent bed, a consistent time to allow sleep. So you want to sleep between 7 and 8 hours. I think that's a good amount of time. At Emory, we learned that if you sleep at least 6 hours and no more than 9 hours, you have a lower mortality rate, so that's really good. But sacrificing sleep for more time awake will have a negative impact. And it'll also, it just has a negative impact on everything around, especially your waking hours. Most older adults need between that 7 and 8 hours of sleep, and they should be going to bed and getting up at a consistent time. If you find yourself not getting up at a consistent time, that could be a sign of depression as well. So you have to watch out if you see someone sleeping a lot more, especially during the day. That could be indicative that they have something going on. Caffeine and nicotine, I exclude my aunt on this, Ken, because she can drink coffee 7 times a day, midnight, and she's fine. But most people cannot do that. And caffeine and nicotine, especially after 3 p.m., and that includes chocolate, sometimes that will also cause an issue. So we want to make sure that you kind of limit that. Your sleep environment is so very important. You've got to have the temperature correct, whatever you feel comfortable with. They say that, having the room a little cooler is better. Environmental disturbances, if you share a room with pets, which I do, you got to watch out for that. That's a bad thing. I have my dog Pippin every night at midnight on the dot. Even if I took him out 2 minutes before, he will want to go out. And I'm like, he'll just sit there and he'll sneeze and he'll go shh, and then he'll go woof, like he's trying to be polite, and then he'll just start barking at me, and then I'm like, I gotta go. I'm like, I've trained him so poorly. but that's the thing. If you've got animals that are keeping you awake, you gotta watch out for that. Pillows and mattresses, and according to my friend who's a chiropractor, Dr. Steve, a firm mattress is better for your posture. Not having a pillow too high or too low so that your neck is not contorted. It's also very important for a good night's sleep. Making sure you flip your mattresses over is also very good to maintain that firmness. And studies, like I said, have shown also that people sleep better in a cooler environment. So you want to keep it between, I would say, around 67. You know, some people keep it even lower than that, which is fine. You don't want to nap longer than 30 minutes during the day. If you do, that you're going to find yourself, you know, maybe interfering with that nighttime going to sleep. But I do like a little, tell you, 15-minute nap. It's like a power nap. That'll just reset you for the day. It's just so awesome. So, but if you go longer than 30 minutes, that's really probably going to start to affect your sleep. And physical and mental health, like I said, also impact your sleep. So mental health concerns like anxiety, depression will disrupt that sleep cycle. And so physical health conditions like medications can also affect your sleep. So you have to kind of look at the medications that you're taking and just make sure that those medications are not having any adverse reaction as far as keeping you up. You also want to make sure, you know, with stress, worries, emotions, develop a routine for bed and a special time to relax and disconnect. And this is a big issue for many who suffer with insomnia. I think that's really important. You've got to figure out, how do I keep my mind from going and going and going right before you go down? Because a lot of times when people lay their heads down, that's when their mind wakes up. So I always tell my patients, I'm like, you know, write a letter to God. Just say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. And, you know, the Lord's big enough to handle it till the morning. If you wake up in the middle of the night, it's more of a like a CBT training. You've got to just kind of say, okay, I'm letting it go. And that's really important. Also, you don't want to go to bed hungry, but you also don't want to eat a large meal prior to going to bed. So think about a light snack that's recommended. Try to get your meals, you know, in a good time frame so that you're not eating too late. But for women that are going through menopause, if they do wake up in the middle of the night, and a lot of times they'll have like sugar issues where their blood sugar crashes, I always tell them to keep like some berries or something right beside the bed. They can take a couple of those, eat some, and that'll get that blood sugar up pretty quickly, and that'll help them get back to sleep, actually. And also, if someone does happen to have panic attacks in the middle of the night, drinking 8 ounces of water that you can keep beside your bed with a little X2O sachet, that can help like reset the parasympathetic nervous system so that person can stop that panic attack, you know, with just these simple things that you can keep on hand. I would also say if you're going to eat something before bed, try to have, you know, something like maybe some nuts or cherries. These are high in melatonin. Also, Fuji apples are very high in melatonin, and you can also use those sleepy time teas like chamomile, ginger, peppermint. Don't eat anything like sweet. And, you know, I'm sitting here, Ken, and I just see that my daughter Brittany, who just came home, she brings me this giant cookie with ice cream piled up on top. And I'm about to sit here and tell you, do not eat sugar. Funny, which will affect your blood sugar and your hormones that control cravings. just so funny. I wish I was on a Zoom call. I just hold it up in front of you while I'm sitting with it. But some people find themselves waking up at night, like I said, because of that low blood sugar. So eating something like this right before I would go to bed, that could actually affect me in the middle of the night, because then my blood sugar would drop, and that can actually cause you to wake up. That is not good. And, you know, I was going to go into, I don't want to talk too much longer on this. I'm just kind of giving you some points. But I was telling Brittany about the calcium, the X2O that's in the capsules. I was thinking, yep. Well, that would be really good for sleep.
Yeah, one of the coolest things is, you know, we recently reformulated that, and that's now called X2O Plus, of course. But for a lot of people, and you kind of hit it earlier in this call, is, you know, sometimes people, while they love their X2O water, a lot of them sometimes avoid drinking X2O in the evening because they don't want to have to get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom a lot. So, and I get that. But also, like you're suggesting in this call tonight, lots and lots of people, sadly, have a struggle with getting a good night's rest. So the X2O Plus kind of serves a dual purpose. It helps people get more of those great X2O minerals along with calcium, magnesium, obviously the vitamin K, vitamin D, at night, but without having to consume large amounts of water. So that's the advantage, of course, is, you know, we've got a product that, you know, can still give you all those great minerals and other things that not only the body can use, but also, as you just pointed out, can be great for helping to support sleep. So it's cool. We've gotten some really cool testimonies recently, in fact, where people said, you know, I really love the way that X2O Plus helps me sleep. So that's been a great asset. The other one that I'll remind everybody listening in tonight of, and I know you know this one very well, Melissa, because it's been in the line for a long time, and that is our Metabolize PM. A lot of people who are struggling with sleep will sometimes turn to the Metabolize PM as a way to try to get a better night's rest. And of course, melatonin is one of the components in that formula, but there's other things in that formula that are designed to not just support the body in its efforts to shed excess fat, which is why it's part of the Metabolize line, but of course, the other reason for that is because, as you pointed out again in this call, if people struggle to get a good, deep, restorative sleep at night, right? Weight gain is unfortunately a big problem, and it's a lot harder to lose weight if you can't get a good night's rest. So the Metabolize PM for people has been a great asset too. In fact, it was probably about, I think it's about 4 months ago now, we got this awesome testimony. A lady was on a prescription sleep aid. I won't mention the name, but she was talking about the horrific side effects of this prescription sleep aid that she was on and how it just made her feel really bad when she would finally wake up. And she said, you know, I decided to just try that Metabolize PM. I wasn't looking to lose weight or anything. I just knew that it was designed to help somebody sleep. She goes, and it's been, like, amazing for me. She said, I've been able to give up that sleep drug. It's now the only thing I need to take to get a good night's rest. I thought, wow, that's a pretty amazing testimony, you know, to be able to get off a sleep drug because you did it naturally.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, that sounds like a great thing, too, to add to protocols for people, you know, just to get them into a place where if they can't sleep, that's a very good point. If they can't sleep, they're not going to lose weight as well because they're just not. They're, like I was saying, all those hormones that have to balance out, they're not going to get balanced if you're, you know, not sleeping well. So that's a great product.
Yeah, it is. And again, it's been in line for a long time, as you know, but that's because it's part of the efforts to help somebody shed that excess body fat. So, you know, I always say, and I think you probably agree with this, show me somebody that struggles to get a good night's rest, and I'll also show you somebody who's probably struggling to lose weight or excess body fat, because those two, unfortunately, go hand in hand.
Yeah, that is so true. That's what I have to say to Zuma members right now. Is you have those things right at your disposal, but a lot of times you'll put them in a context of something else, and then when you take it and realize, wait a minute, that helped with this, like this lady did with her sleep medication, you know, kind of a replacement. A lot of times we don't think like that. We'll just think, oh, that's part of this protocol, or it's only used for that. But like I was saying, even Focus Up to help with sleep is the oddest thing, but it works really well for people because it just keeps them awake, and then they're able to go to sleep at night. So we have to kind of think, you know, out of the box with some of these products because they can be used for different things.
And again, as you've identified tonight, Melissa, I know we're running short on time here, but it could be this struggle to get a good night's rest could be linked to so many different things, and that's the frustrating part I know that people go through is, you know, I'm struggling to get sleep. What is it? Is it a nutritional deficiency? Is it a stress thing? Is it a you know, side effect of a drug? I mean, you know, so many things that could lead to this. You know, is it my eating habits, right? So I think for the average person listening in, because sleep can be disrupted by so many different things, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, the idea is, you know, one step at a time, right? Just try a different approach, and that could be, you know, trying a couple of these Zuma products that, again, people have great success with in sleeping. Could also be, you know, trying, you know, other habits like you were suggesting about, you know, how people live their lives or what they do or, you know, when they eat or, you know, all those things, they all matter. And I'll tell you what, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate about this call tonight is, like you said earlier in your practice, I see it all the time, you know, in Zuma as well, is when members, you know, inquire with us about, you know, various different products in our line. Trouble sleeping is a continual thing. It comes up again and again and again. And it's just sad. So many people do struggle with this. So I'm always happy when I get some of those testimonies where somebody says, hey, I use this and it really made a difference for me.
Yeah, that sounds good. And I want to just really quickly just kind of do like just a not a very deep, but just an overview of sleep tips that people could do. Just get moving. That's one thing. exercise a little bit outside every day. Make a list, plan ahead so that you are not procrastinating to the point of where you're worrying at night before you can't get something done. Just get it all, kind of make a list so you got that out of your brain. Get a bedtime routine where you're going to bed, getting up around the same time, even on the weekends. Keep it consistent. Keep your sleep environment good, like I was talking about, cool and dark. Calming practices, like an evening walk, reading a book, something that can kind of get you into like maybe deep breathing to kind of release stress. Avoid nicotine if you should do that anyway, but just if you sleep specifically, it can affect you as a stimulant. Keep your bedtime tech free. That's a big thing. To turn off everything so you're not exposed to any of that. No clock watching. That's another big one. It's tempting because you can look at the clock over and over again, but you got to stop because that'll mess you up. Track your sleep. You can always use an app or record it in a journal, and this will help someone discover the patterns and what could be affecting their sleep. No naps is a big thing. That's why Focus Up is very good. Food, again, having that light snack is really good, and avoid caffeine. So I just kind of covered everything right there. So those are the big things. If they focus on those things, they probably would improve their sleep greatly.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. And, again, all great tips. So if you're listening into this call tonight and that's something you struggle with is sleep, understand that this is not a, hey, just do this one magic thing and boom, you're going to have this incredible night's sleep. Doesn't always, unfortunately, work that easy. But take this advice, and like I suggested at the beginning of this call, because this is recorded, there's so much good stuff in this call. Not only use this as a review tool for you and maybe some of the things that you might be struggling with sleep, but also remember this is something I encourage you highly to share with anybody you know who's struggling with this. The biggest reason is because when you aren't getting good night's rest, it affects so many other things in your health in a negative way, as Dr. Melissa rightfully pointed out tonight. So don't take this lightly. Make sure that if you're not sleeping well, you do something about it, and you know people who are struggling, make sure you share this information with them. So, Dr. Melissa, as always, I appreciate your time and your experience and talents with us tonight. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Melissa. It's so great to hear about what's going on with your daughter. I'm so happy about that. So
yes.
Praise God for that one. That's awesome.
Praise God. Yes. Amen. Amen. It's going to be a big testimony for sure.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening in. And remember, again, first and third Thursday every single month. I encourage you to be back in on March's call. Has got some good stuff lined up. So until then, talk to you soon. Take care, everybody.
Yes. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.